Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I've got an amazing interview and track retrospective from local producer Ian Howie. That's coming up shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. This is the ultimate prog house mashup. Slovakian producer DJ Bird brings in Giorgio Moroder and Trisco with an amazing bootleg of the classic track Music. Enjoy this. A great track of the week there. A classic Donna Summer bass line gets mashed up with Trisco's jam, Muzak. An amazing job by DJ Bird there. Check out his SoundCloud page if you like what you heard. On to the feature for tonight's episode. I was fortunate to connect with another immensely talented local DJ and producer. This time around, it's Ian Howie. He's a well-established resident at Gorgamesh, showcasing his trademark down-tempo house vibes. Here, he tells all from inspiration, writing lyrics, and a new live project he's been developing. Full track listing, along with a collection of Ian Howie web links, can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out what he had to say. This is DJ Wah speaking to Vancouver-based DJ and producer Ian Howie. He's been making music for over a decade with releases on So-So, Rainforest Music, and Rhombus Digital, just to name a few. Locally, he's featured at Gorgamesh and Open Studios. He's also played at Monkey Loft in Seattle, as well as events in Berlin. He released the Patterns LP on 0110 Records in June of last year, which marked a departure from his earlier four-to-the-floor beats into vocal-driven down-tempo. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Ian Howie. So to begin with, how would you define your sound?
I don't know, you know, I just try and put feeling in music, and it's really an expression of whatever I'm feeling at the time. And I like to blend a lot of electronic elements with songwriting and musicality and try to make it really feel real.
And did you have any musical training when you were younger that helped you as you got into production when you got older?
Well, I had some piano lessons when I was young, and I played a lot of guitar when I was in high school, but I really just kind of picked it up in late high school, and music always made sense to me, so I just kind of fooled around a lot of the time, so there was no really formal training or anything like that. I didn't make it very far in piano lessons, but...
What is it about life and growing up here in Vancouver that's inspired you to produce the type of music that you do?
I'm not really sure what it is about Vancouver in particular, but you know those long winters full of rain, the seasonal depression is very real here, you know, and it can contribute, you know?
What was the early experience of trying to build up your reputation and then establish yourself as a producer and a DJ in this city like?
Well, I was introduced to some of the local labels, I don't know, maybe about 6 years ago now. And I had been making music for a few years, but like house music and DJing, like it really felt like my in to the music industry. And I'd met some people in the scene here, and actually notably the guys at Rhombus, who ended up signing my first EP. And it was just like the DJ scene here was just kind of like a ladder that I could climb and build up. And I worked for a few years to build connections, and it was really fun getting into clubs and like experiencing music like that, experiencing a thriving scene.
And then how did you first get into producing your own music?
When I was young, very young, I had GarageBand, and I like clicked out some shitty beats, you know, on GarageBand. But then in high school, I decided to torrent, I think it was Reason first, just kind of fool around with it. I had been a guitar player, but like I wasn't really writing much. But I ended up like downloading Reason for a bit and then switching over to Ableton, and it was just super fun for me, just like making beats, like all kinds of stuff. I was super into electro house at the time, because that was really bustling at the time, you know. But I don't know, it was just fun. I didn't really see it as a viable means of a career or anything. I was just having fun, and I just did it.
And then are you still mostly using Ableton for production now?
Still on Ableton.
And then within Ableton, do you use a lot of their VSTs, or do you have a lot of external ones that you use as well?
I use mostly software, pretty much all software, but I actually like still to this day, I mean, maybe a little bit less the past year or so, but for a long time I used a lot of Ableton's stock synths and plugins, yeah.
Okay, looking at a couple different styles of music here, your most recent album versus your classic club tracks. When you sit down to start making either of those, do you typically have a song in mind before you begin? Or do you just like to get into the DAW and then see where the process goes from there?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually think about this a lot. And I know some producers are very much that kind of thing where they have something in their head when they go and sit down, and then they do their best to kind of flesh it out. But I cannot do that for the life of me. I always just have to experiment and see where it goes.
And when you first got into production with Reason, was there some element of that process that you found particularly challenging at that period of time?
Yeah, well, it was always difficult to make things sound natural. You know, there was a certain like plastic element to the software that took me a long time to kind of get over.
Vocals feature regularly in your tracks. How do you approach writing lyrics? Do you create tracks and then lyrics, or vice versa, or do you do some combination of both?
Yeah, I mean, like, it changes really all the time. Mostly it's blurting out random stuff when you're trying to write melodies, and then you can kind of form an idea from the melody that's laid out there in Ableton. And I don't know, I always just try and write about stuff I'm going through and hope that people connect with that.
Okay, last June you released your Patterns LP. What was the process like for that, and where did you draw inspiration for the creation of this?
Yeah, Patterns really started with one song, the title track. And I had that one, And I kind of just started piecing together an album from demos that I did throughout the first summer of the pandemic. It wasn't really one of those albums where I set out to write an album. I just ended up with enough demos that we decided to throw together into an album. So it was very natural to me.
Okay, and then how has the response for your album been?
It's been good. I mean, we really focused on trying to build a fan base with this album. You know, there hasn't been much in terms of touring and stuff like that, but I've just been trying to engage a lot with my existing fans and build new fans. And we're doing that slowly. I mean, the rollout kind of continues. We got some new stuff on the way in the new year, still based off of that album that I'm really excited about.
Okay, for the Patterns album artwork, you reached out to a Japanese artist. What can you tell me about that connection and the art that she's done for you?
Yeah, so actually we had worked together before. Her name is Akiko Nakayama, and she does a really cool kind of liquid painting art in Japan. And I was actually connected with her through my friend and collaborator Genki Nishida in Vancouver, who's actually a VJ. And like, we both worked at Open Studios, and he did lighting a lot of the time at Open Studios for a lot of those shows. But yeah, he made the connection, and we just decided to get a little deeper with the collaboration and do a video and some artwork that I think turned out really awesome.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smokey every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
This is Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah. The station is 101.9 CITR. You are listening to the Ian Howie interview here, finishing off with his track titled 11. full track list and a collection of Ian Howie web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's dive into part two of the interview. Okay, you touched on this a little bit earlier on, but let's go a little bit deeper. What have you had to do to share your music and mixes with people during COVID? And how has that experience been as a performer?
The pandemic just totally uprooted everything I was doing. You know, I was wrapped up in the scene. I was playing gigs a lot, which was awesome. But I really kind of, I didn't realize until it was all taken away that I really needed a break from that. And I really needed to evaluate what was going on. And I was always kind of wanting to go into the direction of writing songs. That kind of moment to take a breath made me realize that it was a good time to do it, you know? And now we're working on a live set that we hope to debut when things are opening up. Yeah, you know, I'm just looking forward to when things kind of simmer down.
And then as you start to transition into more of a live act than a traditional DJ setup, what approach or gear do you plan on using for this?
Yeah, I'm working with actually a local artist named Max Euless. So it'll be me on guitar doing vocals, and he'll be running the mixer and doing a lot of the synth parts programmed into some analog gear, which I'm really stoked about. I'm really stoked to kind of like approach these songs from a new angle and try to bring the experience, the studio experience, and the feeling into a live set. It's my first time kind of doing that, and I'm really excited to do it.
Okay, and then as the live act starts to happen, do you think the tracks will leave a lot of room for experimentation, or are they pretty much the way they are, and that's how you plan on playing?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to start out just kind of like laying it out and doing it, but I hope to one day, because, you know, I'm really a musician, and I have been since the beginning. And I love jamming, and I want there to be a certain amount of experimentation.
They wouldn't say we were done, but we didn't know that we were right. But they wouldn't say we were done, but we didn't know that we were right. But they wouldn't say we were done, but we didn't know that we were right. But they wouldn't say we were done. We didn't know that we were right. But they wouldn't say we were done. We didn't know that we were right. But they wouldn't say we were done. We didn't know that we were right. But they wouldn't say we were done. We didn't know.
Okay, and then hopping back over to the DJing side of things, when you are mixing live, what approach do you take to programming a set? Do you generally have an idea in mind before you get there, or do you just like to play with what you see happening on the floor?
It really depends. Whenever I have a plan, it gets uprooted as soon as I step onto the decks, you know? That's just the way it happens. So now I don't even try. I just go and I just have a bunch of songs that I love and I kind of see where it takes me.
Okay, and then over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs or events that you've absolutely loved to play at and are excited to play at, hopefully, sometime in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I managed to play an opening set at the Commodore, which is great. It was opening for Bob Moses, but I really want to play live. It's kind of my dream to play live there.
Okay, you may or may not want to answer this, but when you were doing a lot more DJing, did you ever have a gig go horribly wrong for you?
Oh, let's see. Well, as a DJ, like those are kind of the gigs that make you a good DJ, aren't they? I mean, there's no experience like clearing a dance floor for teaching you how to play. I mean, I do remember actually once at Gorgamesh, I ejected Sea of Ashes. I think it, no. Oh, I forget who I was playing with, but Sea of Ashes was there, but I ejected someone else's USB. And that's the worst feeling, especially when you're supposed to be playing at peak time and you just derail everything.
Okay, looking at your body of work, can you tell me one or two tracks that you're most proud of producing and why?
Definitely Patterns. I'll start with that one. I mean, let's say Patterns and Leaf Syndrome. Patterns, because I feel like I had really struck a balance between the house music, the kind of minimalist deep house that I had been writing before, and the songwriting that I was exploring and kind of wanted to do more of in the future. And I kind of struck this balance between like progression of a house tune but also good songwriting, and Leaf Syndrome because it was kind of like me dipping my toes into the more songwriting side of things, and just writing a pop song.
And then can you think of one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
It's funny, this is the question that I'm least prepared for. Oh man, you know what's interesting about the pandemic is I have totally taken a step back from electronic music and club music because I'm totally removed from the concept, you know? And just like being there. So I've really been listening to old artists, so I don't really have any other answers except for like Arcade Fire and Neil Young, and they're not producers per se, you know? But that's what I've been really digging into.
What is your vision for the future for yourself in production and also in DJing?
Production-wise, I don't know, like bigger, better Ian Howie, you know? With more of a focus on songwriting, with a lot of focus on being experimental, you know, I really want to find my sound. That's my goal now. DJing, you know, that's going to kind of fall to the wayside. I want to play live, and that's what I really want to sink my teeth into right now.
And then is there anything that you'd like to promote right now?
Yes, we got a lot on the way. I have a couple tunes, a few actually, about four coming out in the new year. The first single, Back Home, drops in mid-February. I've also been kind of a little bit getting into the NFT space, and we're going to launch an NFT, basically releasing the stems of the last two singles from Patterns, and kind of like put the music in the hands of producers. And it's going to be really cheap. It's not a money grab. We just want to inspire producers and see what they can do with the music. And we're going to give them the rights to throw it on Spotify and even make money from it.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
Done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Ian Howie, an amazing musician and producer. I'd strongly encourage you to head over to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page to check out the track list and loads of Ian Howie web links. His website is stacked with tracks, artwork, and a lot of upcoming projects. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, you can visit the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca. You can also go to Apple Podcasts to check out this episode, as well as other great interviews and guest mixes from days gone by. Keep up to date with the show on our Instagram and Twitter pages. Up next is a new show with an electronic twist. It's Attic Jam, so check that out. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. Here, let's hop back 16 years in time to 2006 from one from Groove Armada's Andy Cato. Featuring Sublime Pads, this is 7 a.m. Drop. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.